Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing, but the money still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Healthy Matters, presented by Hennepin County Medical Center. A network of neighborhood clinics, specialty centers, hospital, and Minnesota's Level 1 Adult and Pediatric Trauma Center. Please remember, we can only give general medical advice during the program, and every case is unique. We urge you to consult with your personal physician if you have health concerns. Now, here's Denny Law with your host, Dr. David Hilden, internal medicine physician with Hennepin County Medical Center. With more Healthy Matters.
And good morning. Welcome to this edition of Hennepin County Medical Center's Healthy Matters. I mentioned earlier, it's an open line show today. Dr. David Hilden, good morning to you. Good to see you again.
Good morning, Denny. Good to see you.
It's a nice almost summer morning, isn't it?
I know. It is kind of nice out. The bugs, at least up here in Minnesota, aren't totally out in force yet. I'm sure they are any minute now. But it's a beautiful Memorial Day weekend. I hope you and everyone listening is going to have a good holiday weekend. Although you and I are working, so here we are.
We're lucky to do that.
We are. That's a good way to look at it. We're lucky to be here. And I'm going to spend a little time outside a little bit later today and tomorrow. And I hope everyone has a great holiday weekend. Maybe everybody pause for just a minute or two and remember people who we've lost, particularly in the armed services, on this Memorial Day weekend.
Absolutely. It's what it's about. And what is about this hour is, as I said, it's an open line show that our listeners, as you know, Dr. Hilden, will drive the show. We are not talking about any specific topic. So if you do have a general health question for the doctor, by all means, they're already calling in, as you can see. That number is 651-989-9226. Text number is 81807. 81807.
You are right. They're calling in already.
How was the week in the hospital?
It was pretty good. We're still seeing a little bit of measles. Not so much in the adult population, but in the kids population. So that's kind of a too bad thing. And you know what we're going to start to see now, kind of relative to my bug comment earlier, is Lyme disease.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. With this time of year, the ticks are out. So it's Lyme season. And it's a treatable condition, but it's got a lot of intricacies to it, Lyme disease. And I don't know if people in the upper Midwest know, we are right where Lyme disease is really, really common. Lyme disease, it's not Lyme's disease. There's no apostrophe S. It's just Lyme disease. And it was named after the region of Lyme, Connecticut, in the western part of Connecticut. And to get a little more information about Lyme disease, since it's so timely this time of year, I did a blog post about that. You might want to go to that. I did it just a couple days ago. It's the latest on myhealthymatters.org. Just go right to the blog site, myhealthymatters.org. That's all one word. And I've got a post about Lyme disease including some information about where it is, how you treat it, and even about the controversies about the illness that people get for months or years that some people like to call chronic Lyme disease. You might want to check it out, myhealthymatters.org. So that's kind of a...
Didn't you tell us a year or so ago that there are other diseases that these black-legged ticks can bring?
Yep, good point, Danny. It's not just Lyme disease. That's just the most common. But these same little Ixodes scapularis ticks, or the black-legged tick, they transmit other infections as well. The latest one's called Powassan, but there's also anaplasmosis. And I think there's a fourth one that's escaping me right now. It'll come to me. But, yeah, there's like four all in one little tick, and they carry these little bacteria guys that can get on you. And the ticks are so small. The black-legged tick is only the size of a poppy seed in its immature form.
That's
tiny. It's so tiny. You wouldn't even see that. You wouldn't see that if you got that crawl on you. The good news about Lyme disease and the ticks is that if the tick is crawling on you, it's moving, you're in the clear. It has to be attached to you for a good 36 hours, at least a day, more like two or three days. If it's attached to you, that means it's more likely to have transmitted Lyme disease to you. But if it's crawling on you, as creepy as that might be, you can just flick them off and you're okay.
Wow.
But right here in Minnesota, Wisconsin, western Wisconsin, I'm looking at you. If you live in, say, Grantsburg, St. Croix River Valley, Hayward, northwestern Wisconsin, and anything in Minnesota, like from the Twin Cities north and east, that's the worst. I always imagine Interstate 94 running from Hudson, Wisconsin, all the way to Fargo. Mm-hmm. Anything north of that. Now, you can get it south of that. You in Faribault, Owatonna, you can get it too. But particularly north and east of the Twin Cities, all the way up to Duluth and well into Wisconsin, that is just where the ticks and the Lyme disease is most prevalent.
All right, very good. 651-989-9226. That's our number. You want to send a text, we'll pick up on those too. 81807. Let's go to the phones, doctor. Skip is calling from Bloomington. First caller here. Good morning, Skip. What can we do for you?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm supposed to have the cardiac triple bypass on Wednesday morning. I ran into a friend of mine, his wife, last night at a convention, and she said the surgeon I scheduled for almost died. So almost bled out. She said I should go to Mayo, get a second opinion instead of Abbott. Any thoughts on this, doctor?
Sure. So first of all, Skip, best wishes to you on your surgery. The vast majority of the cases don't result in a negative outcome like the one that you're referring to, but it doesn't mean none of them do, and there are known risks and complications to every surgery, and if there was never a complication and never a problem with the surgery, that would be a statistical impossibility. So I can't say that anything that there was any fault of the surgeons or the team on this other person. I don't know. I simply don't know anything. But I wouldn't worry so much about that. You'd mentioned Abbott versus Mayo. Those are two large healthcare systems, Abbott Northwestern being the Allina system and Mayo obviously being in Rochester, that are outstanding. I don't work for either one of them, so I'm not in the business of promoting other healthcare systems. But at the same time, I know people at both of them, and they're good. Both. I can't use the time on the air to disparage those systems. They're good, Allina and Mayo. But that brings up a different question, Skip. It's like a second opinion. You can always do that, however. Not because your first one was necessarily wrong, but just to reassure you that you are comfortable with what they're telling you, that you're comfortable with what they're proposing, that you're comfortable with their experience, and that you're comfortable with the person doing the talking to you. If it were me having a surgery on my heart, I would want to be really comfortable with all those things, that I really feel good about the person I'm talking to, that you have a partnership together. Even the very best surgeon in the country can have a complication and it can go bad. But if you're comfortable with them, I think that's more important. So if you're having some worries, it's perfectly reasonable to get a second opinion down in Rochester or anywhere and do that. But I wouldn't worry so much about if I went back to the same place that this acquaintance went back to, that it would be a bad outcome. I wouldn't assume that. Mm-hmm. No. I think the vast, vast, vast majority of surgeries, including heart surgeries, go very well.
Good luck, Skip.
Thanks for your call, Skip. It's a great, kind of a great question.
651-989-9226. Text number is 81807. Let's go to Beverly, who's calling from Brooklyn Center. Go ahead, Beverly.
Good morning.
Morning.
My question is one, you kind of made a comment in passing last week about Tylenol, and I thought it was a negative comment. Just wondering what your concerns are about Tylenol.
Okay, Beverly. Yeah, Tylenol, or the generic is acetaminophen. Probably what I was talking about was the relative safety of things you can buy in the drugstore. And many of us think, well, it's, including me, it's available down at Target or Walmart or CVS, and must be safe, right? Well, a lot of the things that are sold in the drugstore aisles are safe in low doses, or they're safe when you use them just a little bit, but can be dangerous in higher doses. Tylenol, or I should use the generic, which is acetaminophen, is like the chief among those. There probably isn't many over-the-counter pain relievers or fever reducers that is safer than Tylenol at low doses. You take a couple of Tylenols, you're fine. But it has a very dangerous effect at higher doses. And that upper dose is usually 4 grams, 4,000 milligrams, which is 8 extra strength Tylenols in a day. Anything 8 or more extra strength Tylenols in a day is actually relatively dangerous for your liver. And if you are a person with already has liver disease, maybe you're someone who already takes other medications that are hard on the liver, maybe you drink a lot of alcohol or even a moderate amount of alcohol, Tylenol is not safe in those higher doses. And in fact, even at lower doses, people who have liver disease or people who drink a considerable amount of alcohol, Tylenol can be dangerous. So I think that was my comment, is that just because it's at the – not exactly sure what my comment was, but just so it's – just because it's at the drugstore doesn't mean it's completely safe. Safe at low doses, relatively not safe at higher doses. That would be Tylenol. People die of Tylenol overdose if you get above the recommended amount.
We have a line open if you have a question on this open line show, 651-989-9226. If you prefer, like some folks are doing, send a text, 81807. Phyllis is calling from Bloomington this morning. Go ahead, Phyllis.
Yes, sir. I've got numbness in my right foot starting from the ankle, and I've been to a neurologist and an orthopedist, and they can't find anything.
Yeah, Phyllis, you've got some kind of, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. You may have some kind of neuropathy, and it's often difficult to find anything, but it can be very localized if it's in one spot in your foot. You know, it's usually a nerve is getting pinched. If it's in the bottom of your foot, it could be something called a Morton's neuroma, which is an inflammation of the nerve in between your toes. If it's in the heel of the foot, it could be something different like plantar fasciitis, which isn't even a nerve. But sometimes there's not a good test. And so it sounds like that's maybe what happened to you with your neurologist. There's no blood test for a neuropathy. There just isn't one. There's some relatively more aggressive testing you can do, such as EMG studies, which is a nerve conduction study. But that's kind of a bigger deal if you're just having a little numbness. So most times we just say, well, I don't know what you got. Doesn't look like anything serious. Wear some good shoes and let's see if it gets better. We do things like that. And there's a, you know, nothing heals like time in some people. But the converse of nothing heals like time is if it doesn't get better over time, I think it is time to do some more aggressive testing, such as nerve conduction studies or something, and go back to your neurologist if it doesn't get better. If you are a diabetic, that would be the one also thing I should say. Diabetics get nerve numbness in their feet, and that should be looked at by your doctor.
All right, Doctor, we'll have to take a break here. We have more show to come. It's an open line show, 651-989-9226. Your general health questions for Dr. Hilden. Send a text, and we'll pick up on those when we come back, too, at 81807. In the Twin Cities, might be sunny where you are. A few clouds are reported with 59 degrees here on CCO. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to this portion of Hennepin County Medical Center's Healthy Matters. It is an open line show today. That means your general health questions for Dr. David Hilden, and we have a bunch on the phone and a text. Let's grab another call, and then let's do some text messages. What do you say? Barbara is calling from Crystal. Go ahead, Barbara. Thanks for waiting.
Good morning. I saw my primary doctor last week for neck and neck pain and stiffness. He did x-rays and determined that I have arthralgia in my neck. The arthritis seems to be getting a little worse, especially in one vertebrae, which is, I guess, quite deteriorated. My concern is regarding damage to the spinal cord and possible paralysis, which he suggested.
Yeah. To start out, what you started with, Barbara, you said you had arthralgia. Just for other listeners, that algia in any medical term is pain. Arthralgia is pain in a joint. So you have pain in your joints. And you can get degenerative changes in any joint of your body, but some of them are more common than others. And the spine is relatively common. You can have pain in the joints of your spine, and your spine has a lot of joints. And so with a little bit of time or several decades of time, the ones in your neck start rubbing on each other. And if they start to compress your nerves, that's when you're getting a secondary complication. And paralysis would be one of those complications, Barbara, but that's pretty severe and pretty uncommon. It can happen. More likely is just that you continue to have some kind of pain. The nerves sometimes get pinched and you get numbness in your arms or your legs or your body. Or if the main spinal column gets pinched and narrowed, it's called spinal stenosis. And that can indeed cause weakness and numbness and burning pain all over your body. And yes, even some forms of paralysis. But that's a relatively late complication, and most people, you know, there are something you can do there. Let's see if that makes sense. There is something you can do prior to paralysis setting in. There are surgeries that work. Spinal stenosis is a harder thing to treat, but there are surgeries to relieve the arthritis. But even prior to that, there are some exercises you can do. There are injections you can do. There's a variety of nerve procedures that you can do. So there are things to do. I would just make sure you're seeing a spine specialist, and they can help you out. I think sometimes doctors say to patients, hey, if we don't do something about this, you could be paralyzed. Well, even if that is objectively true, it is highly unlikely. So sometimes we use words that maybe are a little bit more hyperbolic than they need to be. But I don't know your case specifically, so make sure you're seeing a spine specialist, and I think they could offer you some of those things, Barbara.
All right, should we go to the text line?
Let's do that. Here's one that says, hi, my 87-year-old mother has shortness of breath but is otherwise healthy. She has undergone a methylcholine challenge test and doesn't have asthma or nothing showed up. The nurse practitioner recommends a sleep study. My mom's shortness of breath is all day long. Does a sleep study seem like a logical next step? And would sleep apnea cause shortness of breath in the daytime? The hallmark symptom of sleep apnea is daytime somnolence or sleepiness. It doesn't usually cause shortness of breath during the day, but it causes being excessively tired because you're not getting a restful night's sleep. It can cause shortness of breath, though. I do have to say that, because sleep apnea, when it gets really bad, can lead to right-sided heart problems, and you can have fluid retention, and you can literally get heart problems from sleep apnea. And if you're getting heart problems from your sleep apnea, yes, you could be short of breath. So that is a reasonable next step to this texter, to get a sleep study. It might not be at the top of the list. She might want to make – I would do a heart test. If an older adult is having shortness of breath, it's not unreasonable to have a cardiologist or your primary doctor look into your heart, because when your heart gets a little weak, you do get short of breath. There's a number of other things that can cause it. She should maybe have some imaging of her chest, like a CT scan or something, to look for fibrosis or other problems in the lungs. But a sleep study is one of the things that might be done next for what she has. It's just only one of the things.
You know, we talked about Lyme disease when we opened the show, but
people are calling, aren't they?
Yeah, did they discontinue the vaccination?
Yeah, there was a vaccine for Lyme disease some time ago. I want to say in the 90s, late 90s or early aughts, after the turn of the century. That is true. I'm not exactly sure why it was discontinued. The texter brings up a good question. I think it was economics. I think, you know, Lyme disease is a regional problem. It's mostly in the upper Midwest and in the Northeast of the United States. although it is nationwide, it's mostly in those two regions. And I think it maybe wasn't making sense, or it was, or for the manufacturer. And I do recall that the Lyme vaccine, in terms of its effectiveness, wasn't way up there. Like, some things are just really effective, like the measles vaccine. It just works. Other vaccines are a little less effective. So if you have a vaccine that's a little less effective and it's not making economic sense, I think they got rid of it. They had it for pets. The texter's correct. They had it, and they maybe still do, for pets. Other people on the text line are commenting about the Powassan virus. I did mention that one earlier. Powassan's a new emerging infectious disease. That texter is absolutely correct, and it's transmitted by the same tick. And then I won't read the whole text, but there's another person that did text me about the chronic Lyme disease situation, and how their daughter had symptoms for 8 years. I won't say much more about that because it's one of the more controversial things in infectious diseases, but it is not controversial in the people I know who are experts. 98% of the people don't believe there is such a thing as chronic Lyme disease. And what I mean by that is, once you've been treated for Lyme disease, you do not have an active ongoing infection with a bacteria for years afterwards. That does not mean that people aren't sick. So to the texter who says your child has been sick for many years, 100% I believe you. 100%. That absolutely happens. 10 to 20% of people with Lyme disease remain ill for many months or even years later. Years. And that is not an active infection, however. It is a post-inflammatory response that we don't fully understand. But one thing we do understand is that you don't need antibiotics for years. That's actually harmful to the human body. So I won't get into that much more because it's controversial, but that's where I stand. But thanks for texting.
All right, speaking of shots, Michelle in Willow River has a question for you. Go ahead, Michelle.
Hi. My 11-year-old, when he was 18 months old, had a reaction to the MMR shot. He had a rash from head to toe and a fever of 103. And now our primary is strong-arming us to get him caught up on his MMR. Will he have another reaction, you think?
I doubt it, but I can't promise. It is possible to get those reactions from the vaccines. It is possible. But the vaccine is safe even with that kind of reaction. I don't think that I wasn't there, so I don't know. But I don't think it was an allergic reaction. It was more probably an inflammatory response to a small attenuated virus in his body. And so I guess, yeah, that's possible that could happen again. Getting measles is worse, though. And people die of measles. We think it's just a mild thing, but it's not common, but it is possible. A measles encephalitis is when it goes to your brain. And the outbreak of measles is far worse than the vaccine. But you bring up a good point, Michelle. Your point is 100% legitimate. You might get had a reaction, and you can get reactions to vaccines. It's the real deal. If a doctor says, no, it's 100% safe, nothing will ever happen to you, you'll never get a reaction, that's not accurate. You can, and your child is a proof of that. I would still probably recommend doing it. I hesitate to give specific advice to a parent who had a kid who had a reaction, because I feel I do sympathize with that. But in general, I would do it anyway. I might see an allergist first. That's maybe an idea you could go if you're not sure. Go see an allergist. See John Sweet at HCMC. He's the best guy in town. And go see him and get his opinion. Maybe that's an idea before you get the next one.
As we head to this break, speaking of your colleague, Dr. John Sweet.
Johnny B. Sweet, Dr. Sweet, our allergist at HCMC, is going to be at the downtown Minneapolis Farmers Market this Thursday from 11 to 1. Stop by for allergy tips, tactics, and trivia. Get a high five from our hypoallergenic Bernie, Bernie the rescue dog. He's a 7-foot-high St. Bernard. Tell Dr. Sweet that I sent you. He knows who I am.
Yeah, you guys were
covered. Oh, gosh, yeah. Tell them I sent you. That's this Thursday, 1 to 11, downtown Minneapolis Farmers Market, right there outside the government center. I'll be there later this summer. I can't remember which day I'm going to be there, but
we'll let our listeners know.
Absolutely. Well, it's getting closer.
Just a reminder, we have another half hour of the show to go, so those folks on the line, hang on. We'll get some text messages answered as well. In the Twin Cities, it's 59 degrees. Stay with us.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And good morning. Welcome to this portion of Hennepin County Medical Center's Healthy Matters. It is an open line show today. That means your questions, either by phone or by text, for Dr. David Hilden, who is your host. And as you can see, Dr. Hilden, on this holiday weekend, no change. We have a lot of callers and many texts as
People
well.
Are listening in. Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for all your questions so far and for those in the next half hour. It's always, sometimes I forget to say it, but I thanks for all of you for listening. You know, the show wouldn't be anything if were listening. Otherwise, Denny and I would have to just chat with each other the whole time.
Asking each other questions.
We would have to. So thank you for calling and texting. You can also tweet me at Dr. David Hilden. Be good if you put the hashtag Healthy Matters. That way I'll make sure to get it. Happy Memorial Day. Maybe that's not the right thing to say. I hope you have a good holiday weekend. Let's remember those that we have lost this weekend. Maybe you're getting together with family or you're getting outside. That would be a great thing. Let's see. I got to do a couple of housekeeping things. First of all, if you missed it earlier, I want to tell you that John Sweet, my allergist friend and all-around good guy, will be at the downtown Minneapolis Farmers Market this Thursday. Coming up this Thursday. I think that's, June 2nd. From 11 to 1 p.m. downtown Minneapolis at the Government Center. Bernie the Rescue Dog will be there. Dr. Sweet will be there. There's a little trivia game. Get tips about allergy and mostly just go and see the good-looking Dr. John Sweet. I have to say that because he'd be blushing right now. Got to go see John Sweet, the Minneapolis Farmers Market. Second of all, we've been commenting a little bit on Lyme disease. I think we've had enough discussion about that today, but I do want to point you to the website that's associated with the show. I write it myself. It's called myhealthymatters.org. All one word, no spaces, no nothing, just myhealthymatters.org. And you can read up about Lyme disease. And I give you some links to some other things as well. And let's see, that might be it for the housekeeping. Let's go to the phone,
shall we? Very good. Folks have been waiting. Jim in West St. Paul is first up here. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I've got a couple of cast iron hips. I know that's not the metal, but I wasn't there, so I don't know.
They're cast iron, Jim? Seriously?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
You were. You just weren't awake for it, huh?
When they put them in. Cast iron gets people's attention.
It sure does.
And, I'm wondering how long they should last. My oldest one is 13 years old.
I know people. That's a good question, Jim. And some of it depends on what they put in there. Usually, I love it that you called it cast iron because all I can think of is in a big old frying pan, you know, those things that weigh about 30 pounds. It's probably titanium or stainless steel. But at 13 years, you should be fine. And I do know some people who had to get a new hip in 10 years, but then I know some that are going on 30. So it really does vary quite a bit. It's one of the reasons we don't want to put artificial joints in too early unless we absolutely have to, so you can avoid the second one. But if you're not having any problems, you could have a lot of years left in your hips if they're only 13 years old. Most people only need them once in their lifetime, and as long as the hardware doesn't loosen up, you know, you don't want it to be loose in there. It's just like any other kind of moving part. They're screwed and bolted and in place. You should be okay. I'd be a little outside my area of expertise to give you an actual number, other than to say that I have known people who have gone a great long time, well over 20 years, 20, 25 years, before they needed a new one. So, maybe that'll be you. I've seen the, you know, you were there, Jim, but you were asleep, but, I've seen the surgeries, and I used to joke with my orthopedic surgeon friends. I'd say, You know, doctors generally get your medical equipment from a medical supply store or something very expensive. And I always tease my orthopedic friends. I said, do you get your surgery tools down at Home Depot? I mean, do you just go buy some power tools and all that? And because it really is, it's just nuts and bolts and metal that they are gently screwing in with some pins and bolts and things. And so those can loosen, just like they could in your car or something else.
Sure.
So that's what some of the things that can happen. But as long as you're not having pain, you're doing okay, Jim, you could have a lot longer to go with those hips.
Very good. Back to the phones we go. Harold is calling from Osseo. Go ahead, Harold. Thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I have had my meniscus gravis for over 5 years, and it seems to be under control with the original medication, Mestadin, with some changes in its dosage. My question is, the muscle spasms in Charlie horses, always in lower body, not daily, but several times a week, occurs at night only, but can be in many different places throughout my lower body. Explain what is happening and what can be done to provide relief or eliminate.
Yeah, Harold, before you go, did this get worse when you got treatment for myasthenia? Or?
Pardon me?
Did your spasms get worse since your treatment for myasthenia gravis started 5 years ago?
Well, yes, I never had. I don't ever remember having it at all before that.
Right. So I'm not exactly sure if they're related or if they're related to the medication or something else, because muscle spasms are simply the contractile cells of your muscles are, well, they're contracting, and they just seize up. That could well be due to a medication or something. For listeners who don't know what Harold's what his illness is, it's called myasthenia gravis. It is a neuromuscular condition where your muscles get weak, especially the little ones. You know, it's usually the littler muscles first. I mean, it can even be like the muscles of your eyelids, little muscles, the muscles of your fingers, and then it can go to bigger ones as well. And what happens is that they do fine at initially, you're strong initially, but they get weak with repetitive movement, and so people get... they get weak. And so there are some medications for it, and that's what the caller is talking about. That's his illness. As for large muscle spasms, like you're talking about in the lower half of your body at night, perhaps it's related or perhaps it's not. It's hard for me to say. I would just make sure your blood tests are all okay, that you don't have iron deficiencies, any vitamin or mineral deficiencies, that you're not anemic with a low hemoglobin. Those can do it. I would also make sure that I've stretched and before, you know, during the day, so you don't go to bed with tense and sore muscles. I would try some things like physical therapy or massage. And then if those are all the kind of conservative treatments, then I would see my neurologist and ask him point blank, is this due to my treatment for my myasthenia? It doesn't sound like it's due to the myasthenia itself, because that's a muscle weakness problem. But I will admit, Harold, I'm not an expert on that illness. That's a neurologist area. So I would do those conservative measures, and then I would talk to my neurologist and ask him that very question and see if they're related.
All right. Before we grab some text messages, Alan is calling from New Ulm, Minnesota. Alan, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Good morning. I just came off of for 2 weeks of a successful eye surgery where they use that gas bubble. And it was so important for me to walk with my or sit or walk or anything with my head down, and also I had to sleep on my back. Now I kept my head down for a week. Now driving in a car with your head down is really strange.
Yeah, that's got to be that's a good one, Alan. That's a hard one.
Anyway, what you see is a rim. And in the middle of the rim, it's like a bowl of Jell-O that's jiggling around all the time. And that I lived with for a week, and I came off of that surgery successfully, which Zimmer hasn't.
And what is your question? It's just a comment.
Just a comment.
Yeah, Alan. That is an interesting thing, because they do use a little. It's all about gravity, and you know, you think of a bubble or something. Where does it go? And well, I'm glad that worked for you. It's a newer technique that I'm a little less familiar with, but I'm glad it worked for you. And that whole week of having to look down, that's got, you know, we tell people all the time weird stuff you have to do. Okay, after you leave my office, make sure you do this. That's not so simple for people, but it sounds like Alan did everything he should. I'm glad that went well for you. I don't know about the driving thing while you have to look down. You're a trooper, Alan. Thanks a lot for your call. That's a great, great comment.
I know what's going to be on the next week. We're going to head to a quick break here, but tell our listeners what the topic will be next week.
Next week, I've got the head of our geriatrics division, Dr. Larry Kirzner. Dr. Kirzner is one of the best geriatricians I've ever met. And he's never been on the show. And we're going to talk about falls in the elderly and older adults, and how you can help your balance and avoid falls. Because literally, for an older adult, a fall is just as bad or worse than things like cancer or a heart attack. It is just that bad. So we're going to talk about how to avoid falls in older adults with somebody who knows more about it than anybody I know.
But in the meantime, as we head to this break, we'll be taking more of your phone calls and text messages on this Open Line show, your general health questions for Dr. David Hilden. There are a few clouds out there, 61 degrees here on CCO. And good morning. Welcome back to this portion of Hennepin County Medical Center's Healthy Matters. Again, it's an open line show, which means you're driving the show. Your questions by phone and by text for Dr. David Hilden. As again, we have many, so you can grab.
Why don't I take some text messages and try to go quickly? These won't be very thorough answers. Here is one. Our 43-year-old daughter had a lump on her leg, went to her doctor, and was sent to the U of M. After a biopsy, she was diagnosed a few days ago with myxoid sarcoma. What can you tell us about this cancer? That's from Rich in New Ulm. Well, Rich, I'm sorry about the diagnosis in your daughter, but these are treatable. I'm not an expert in cancers, but a sarcoma is any cancer of the bone or soft tissue, as opposed to an adenocarcinoma or a basal cell carcinoma or a squamous cell carcinoma. Sarcoma, just the word sarcoma, is from the bone and muscle, as you found out. They're treatable. There are surgeries and medications that can be done with those. I can't say more since I don't know about her specific situation. I do remember that hits home for me when I was in high school. One of my very best friends had a sarcoma and of his leg. And we were juniors in high school and we were terrified. And now he's a cardiologist at Harvard and he is in his 50s. So he did just fine. But that is, every case is different. So I can't say, but I'll be thinking of you. Best wishes to you. You're going to a good place. They're very good at the U of M on that. Here's a person who's just commenting about, yep, they still vaccinate dogs for Lyme disease. I work with the researchers at the U of M in the early 90s. Thanks for that text. I thought they did. Another one says, news report says Powassan can be transferred with just 15 minutes of tick attachment. It is not known. I was talking earlier that a Lyme tick has to be on you for at least 36 hours to transmit it. But the Powassan virus, which is also in the same tick, might be shorter. This texter is accurate. It might be true that Powassan virus is transmitted with far less exposure to the tick. But I guess we don't really know how long it is for Powassan, but it's probably less time. I don't know if it's as short as 15 minutes, but who knows? Here's another text. I'm 51 years old. When should I get the shingles vaccine? It's indicated for all people at age 60. I know some people have got it at age 50, but I don't think anybody pays for it then. So at age 60. Do we have time for more?
Sure.
All right. Let's see. Here's several more. Let's see. That's another Lyme disease. I think we're done with that. I've talked a lot about that. Here's one. I have shingles on my calf, ankle, and bottom of my foot. Would the pain radiate to my thigh and buttock muscles? Is gabapentin a good pain reliever, and is it safe to drive? Shingles pain usually is in a specific area of your body. It could go up higher, but it's generally because that's the same nerve. The dermatome or the nerve distribution from your legs does go up in a kind of a vertical area. So yeah, it could be going up your leg into your rear end area. Gabapentin is a relatively effective neuropathic pain medication, so we do use it sometimes for people with shingles. Is it safe to drive? I would say maybe. I recommend you be on, if you've been on it for a long time, it's okay if you know how your body reacts, but don't drive immediately after taking it. There is some new evidence that gabapentin might be a little bit more habit-forming than we used to think.
All right, let's go back to the phone. Susan is calling from Lakeville, Minnesota. Go ahead, Susan.
Yes, hi. I have an appointment with my internist on Tuesday morning. I hurt my upper arm while we were moving, I guess from too much lifting and cleaning or repetitive circular motion with my arm. Now I cannot lift my arm up above my head without extreme pain. What can I expect to hear from my doctor on Tuesday morning? What kind of injury could this be?
Yeah, you could have. Good question, Susan. It could be a rotator cuff injury. Your shoulder has to move in almost every direction of motion. It has to rotate, lift, bend, all these directions. And there are four muscles of your rotator cuff. It could be that. It could be probably an inflammatory process. That's what I'm thinking it is. You have like a shoulder capsulitis. Your shoulder is encased in ligaments and tendons, and the muscles are deeper down, and then there's the joints, and all that has a lot of connective tissue. You probably, with all that movement, that repetitive motion, have a little fluid in there, a little inflammation in there. That's what I think it's likely going to be. And your doctor might recommend anti-inflammatory medications. They will probably recommend gentle but continuous range of motion. We almost never like to have the shoulder immobilized, even though it hurts. They'll probably gently have you raise your arm. They might take some x-rays, but I'll bet you anything it won't show anything. You didn't break a bone. So I doubt it would show anything, but they might get that. They might recommend injections of some anti-inflammatories. Those are the things that I think are possible.
Hey, what, we have less than a minute to go. You want to grab this last text, what it could be?
My left foot is swollen, very painful to walk. What else could it be? Well, that's a good one. If it's just one foot, it could be infected. It could be you stepped on something, have a little foreign body in there. It could be you twisted it funny and don't even know it. If you cannot bear weight or walk on your foot for a day or two, you should have an x-ray. You maybe chipped a bone or something. Other than that, if you can walk on it, just do so gently and maybe elevate it as much as you can. If it's red or if you have fevers or if there's breaks in the skin, it might be infected and you should go in.
If you don't have a primary care doc, there's a way to find one.
There sure is. Come and see us at any of our 8 or 9 regional clinics in the Western Metro or downtown at HCMC. The number is 612-873-6963. It's easier to remember at hcmc.org. We'd love to see you.
And we'll be back again next week, and the topic will be?
Geriatrics and falls in the older adult with an expert in that. And check us out at myhealthymatters.org.
Thanks very much, Dr. Hilden.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.